So last week we discussed the machlokas, the famous machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim, regarding the question of really when, how we define night, when night begins. And obviously there are many ramifications to that machlokas. We said, just to review very quickly, we said that those of you who are living here in Eretz Yisrael, so the general practice is that we hold like the Gaonim, which means that Ben Hashmashos begins immediately after sunset, immediately after Shkia, and is already Suffolk night at that point, and therefore we certainly begin Shabbos already at Shkia. We then have the period of Ben Hashmashos, which is anywhere from 13 and a half to 18 minutes. At that point, it's Vadai Laila, according to the Gaonim. And we said that that's what we hold here in Eretz Yisrael. In terms of ending Shabbos, we're a little bit more machmir. We don't end Shabbos. Nobody really ends Shabbos after 18 minutes. And the reason that we bump it up to more around 36 minutes or so, the reason we bump it up is because we are unsure exactly what does it mean, three medium-sized stars. Because even though we're told in the Gemara that after Ben Hashmashos is night, the Gemara also tells us that night is three stars. So what are you supposed to do if you wait the Ben Hashmashos period and it's not night and there aren't three stars yet? Why would you pick one Gemara over the other if we're dealing with the Nisar Kares, Skila, Shabbos? So therefore, for Shabbos, we don't end Shabbos 18 minutes after Shkia. We wait until there are three stars visible. Officially, according to the Gemara, three stars should mean medium-sized stars. But the Shulchan Aruch says we should look for three small stars, since we don't know exactly what constitutes a medium-sized star. And therefore, we said that here in Eretz Yisrael, we generally wait for 8.5 depression angle, 8.5 degrees below the horizon. When the sun is at that point, that's when we assess that it's dark enough. And we pointed out that the Maizmanim website has tried to turn that into the standard, the gold standard for all over the world, that it will always give you the computation of 8.5 degrees below the horizon is when Shabbos ends. Now, if you play around with Maizmanim, I had a little fun with Maizmanim this week. There are certain cities where you never reach 8.5 degrees below the horizon, like Helsinki. It only gets to around 8.3 degrees. So you can have, you know, Shabbos forever. So maybe some people would welcome that. Maybe some people wouldn't. But so there, it gets a little bit more complicated. But that's the general psak here in Eretz Yisrael. In the United States, in Europe, the general practice is to always hold like Rabbeinu Tam, at least in Northern Europe, to hold like Rabbeinu Tam. And in certain cities like Helsinki, for instance, waiting 72 minutes is going to be a kula, because you won't even have reached 8.5 degrees yet in many northern cities, and including Radin, I believe, where the Chafetz Chaim was from. After 72 minutes, you're not yet at 8.5 degrees. The sun is not 8.5 degrees below the horizon. And in Eretz Yisrael, I think I pointed out that the standard practice, the old practice, was to wait 42 minutes in the United States. 42 minutes would be 42 plus the 18 minutes. That would be an hour after candle lighting. Rav Moshe tried to push it to 50, even though he encouraged what he said, B'nai Torah, to wait 72 minutes on the clock, standard 72, but he tried to push the general communities to wait 50 minutes. Okay, that's the machlokas. And as you see, although in Europe there were those who were makel for Rabbeinu Tam, in general nowadays we're not makel for Rabbeinu Tam, meaning we don't allow you to continue to do malacha after Shkia. Once Shkia comes, which for the Gaonim is the beginning of the next day, or at least Misafek, it's Ben Hashmashos. So everyone in general is machmir for the Gaonim at the start of Shabbos and at the end of Shabbos. So there's debates about how much can you rely straight on the Gaonim? Do you have to wait longer? Okay. What I'd like to discuss for a couple of minutes right now is, let's say we accept everything we just said. We hold like the Gaonim, at least the beginning of Shabbos. Shabbos begins at Shkia. What does that mean, though? Or what does that mean happened to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? Is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam now discarded? Or are we able to utilize Rabbeinu Tam for Shasa Dechak situations? So for instance, one of the questions that the poskim deal with is a woman who forgot to do hefsek tara. She's supposed to do a bedika to see if she stopped bleeding and if she's can begin the process of tahara. And she's supposed to do hefsek tara. And that has to be done before shkia. So what if it's 5 minutes after shkia? Is she able to be mekil and continue to do hefsek tara? Granted, according to the Gaonim, it's already safek laila. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's still day for 50-something minutes. So she, at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, she should be able to be mekel. So here there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe. It's in your source sheet number 12. And he says, Hinei ledidi hayem istaber, that since Ben Hashmashos is itself a suffix, and we have a machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim, we might have here a svek sveka. So Rav Moshe has a very interesting suggestion. Maybe there's a double suffix. What do we mean there's a double suffix? Well, there's a machlokas, Gaonim, Rabbeinu Tam. If the Gaonim are right, and it's now 5 minutes after Shkia, so it's already night, at least suffix night. So she can't do the Hefsek Tara. But if Rabbeinu Tam is right, so she can. Okay. And even if the Gaonim are right, that it's suffix Laila, it's only suffix Laila. Maybe it's still day. So it's a svek sveka, a double suffix. For the mathematically inclined, one way to look at a svek sveka is you can look at it like this. 50% chance the Gaonim are right, 50% chance Rabbeinu Tam is right. So that means 50% chance she can't, 50% argues that she cannot do it, hefsek tara, that's the Gaonim side, and 50% that she can, the Rabbeinu Tam side. But even the Gaonim side is not really 50%. Because it itself is a 50-50, maybe it's day, maybe it's night. So at the end of the day, you have 25% telling you that you can't do it, and 75% telling you that you can do it. Okay, this is what Rav Moshe says, maybe we have a svek sveka, which means that we're allowed to consider Rabbeinu Tam as a viable option, and maybe we can use Rabbeinu Tam in order to be makel. So this is what Rav Moshe writes as a suggestion. And therefore, Rav Moshe writes, Ula inyan hefsek taharam in source 12, this is Or Chaim, Chelek Dalid. So says Rav Moshe, if she's anusa velo yichola lasos bedikas hefsek tara arach hashkia, it's after shkia and she didn't have an opportunity. They were at a wedding and she didn't have a free moment and she realizes it's shkia, it's 3 minutes after shkia, she's able to do a bedika. So says Rav Moshe, yichola during that period of Ben Hashmashos because of the svek sveka. Now he has this mathematical equation where he thinks that Ben Hashmashos is only 9 minutes in New York. It's not 13 and a half or 18. But he says that at least during Ben Hashmashos, however you define Ben Hashmashos, for him it's 9 minutes, she should be able to still do a hefsek tahara. This is what Rav Moshe writes. Interestingly, though, in a later tshuva, that was in Chelek Dalet. If you look in source 13, this is Or HaChaim, now Chelek He. So here he writes that he thinks you can only rely on this if you hold, like Rabbeinu Tam, at the end of Shabbos. If you go throughout your whole week saying, oh, Rabbeinu Tam's wrong, Rabbeinu Tam's wrong, Rabbeinu Tam's wrong, he says you can't now resurrect the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam in order to create a svek sveka, in order to be mekil regarding the hefsek tara. He writes, bedover masha amarti, regarding what I wrote in the earlier volume of Igros Moshe, sheish lahakel b'dieved basias hefsek tahara, ad tes minut, achar shkia, because of the svek sveka, Vadai hanogim kishitas hagra af lekula b'motzei Shabbos. If you end Shabbos like the gra after 30-something minutes, ein lahem lahakel b'zei, you can't be mekel because it's a tre kule desatre. You're being mekel. When Shabbos begins, when Shabbos ends, you're saying, oh, I don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam, I hold like the Gaonim. But now all of a sudden, when you're trying to be matir the hefsek tahara after shkia, you say, oh, well, what about shitas Rabbeinu Tam? What do you mean, what happened to Shitas Rabbeinu Tam? You rejected Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. He then says, Aval tame'ani mi hitir lehem davar zeh. And then Rav Moshe sticks in a little musr. He says, I don't know, who was matir all these people to not... It's like, when I wrote the tshuva, I assumed everyone's holding like Rabbeinu Tam. Who allowed them to then hold like Rabbeinu Tam? V'chi heim yecholim lachriya b'din zeh neged minag aboseinu v'raboseinu arishonim? V'lomar shadinim agra? What, someone feels confident enough to say that the gra's right and Rabbeinu Tam's wrong? And they're going to be Michal Shabbos. You know, they're going to hold like one and not like the other. Going to end Shabbos so early against Rabbeinu Tam. So, and then he writes, "V'hagro atzma lo hinikem, af lo b'iro Vilna." He writes, apparently he had a tradition, that even the Gra himself in Vilna didn't hold like the Gra. The Gra himself was machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. And he says, we know that Gedolei Talmidei of the Gra didn't hold like this. He says, anyway, our minhag, he says, is to hold like Rabbeinu Tam. And when I said that you can use Rabbeinu Tam l'kula, I only meant if you're holding like Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos. Now, Rav Shechter, Rav Hershel Shechter, says that even for those who hold like Rabbeinu Tam, only the Talmidim Muvhakim of Rav Moshe used Rav Moshe's Svek Sveika. Meaning Rav Moshe, even though he writes here that if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, you can use the Svek Sveika, and you could be matir a woman to do a Hepsek Tara for a few minutes after Shkia. So Rav Shechter says that he does not think that Rabbeinu Tam Shita is able to be used Lekula like this. And only the Talmidei, he thinks that, you know, at the end of the day, it's one suffix. It's very fancy to call it a Svek Sveika. At the end of the day, it's one suffix. Is it day or is it night? That's really what's going on here. There's one suffix. It's true. You could say, oh, it's Machlokas Puskim, and even within one side, maybe it's Suffik Yom, Suffik Laila. He says, but at the end of the day, there's really one question on the table. Is this period day or is it night? So Rav Shechter tells people not to rely on this Rav Moshe. And certainly here in Eretz Yisrael, that's what most of the poskim say. Rav Vosner writes, it's, you know, when you know the background, then you know what Rav Vosner is referring to here. In, where's Ruvain? Ruvain, I don't know if you remember, I think Rav Vosner also was the one when Rav Moshe's Talmud from Memphis, Rav Greenblatt? Greenblatt. Rav Moshe's Ephraim. So if you remember, he had a lashon there in one of the tshuvas where the Rav Moshe's Ephraim was Mekil. So he said, Rivavos, you know, he made a reference, took like a little knock at the Rivavos Ephraim by quoting a pasuk that had the word Rivavos. Remember that? Right. Okay, so here, the Shevet Alevi is clearly talking about Rav Moshe. He writes, Kishakvar bivada higia ben Ashmashos, source 14, when it's definitely already ben Ashmashos after Shkia, Rotsim lasok Svek Sveka. There are those who would like to rely on a Svek Sveka. So this is obviously a reference to Rav Moshe. There are those who would like to rely on Rav Moshe, and like Rabbeinu Tam, and he writes, Tanias Daiti, I don't think you can do this. And here in Eretz Yisrael, we hold like the Gaonim. There are some who are machmir for Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos, but that's being machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. That's Tosefa Shabbos. But he says we hold like the Gaonim, and once we're holding like the Gaonim, he doesn't think that you can rely on. He doesn't think you can rely on Rabbeinu Tam to be Mekel. I remember, for those of you who live here in Ramat Beit Shemesh Gimel, so I remember I once was talking to Rav Jalofsky about a case. Someone was asking me about where they had a, you know, this happens sometimes, the wife went to do a bedika and looked at a clock, and the clock's a few minutes fast, so really it's, you know, 5 minutes fast, so she thinks it was before Shkia, but then checked a different clock. You know, it was unclear. It was like a minute or two. And, you know, he said, listen, I don't know. I wasn't in the house. The rule is very simple. If it was before Shkia, it's good. If it was after Shkia, it's not good. That's the only thing I could tell you. And that is the consensus of the poskim here in Eretz Yisrael, at least the Ashkenazi poskim, is that the cutoff is Shkia. Once Shkia comes, that's the din. Now, hold on. I see somebody asked a question here. So someone asked about Rabbeinu Tam, about why some people, so some people are machmir for Rabbeinu Tam after Shabbos, and they're not machmir for Rabbeinu Tam in any other area. And the question is there any logic to that? And the answer is, was that the question? And the question, the answer is that those who are machmir for Rabbeinu Tam at the end of Shabbos, they're being machmir generally for the dioraisis. Meaning most people who are being machmir for Rabbeinu Tam, they still daven Mariv with the tzibor. They still say Kriya Shema. They don't say Kriya Shema again. You know, they make Havdalah. They just don't light the candle. They have someone else light the candle. But for the Dioraisa, I know a lot of people who are Machmir for Rabbeinu Tam, for Malacha on Motzei Shabbos, and for Yom Kippur. But for everything else, they're not Machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. Again, because they assume the Halacha is like the Gaonim. But anyway, since there's an Inyan of Tosefa Shabbos, and since it's an Isser Skila, so therefore they're being Machmir anyway. They decide I'll be Machmir anyway, especially in the United States, where it's only another 8 minutes after you get home from shul, 6 minutes after you get home from shul. It's not not such a long time. Here in Eretz Yisrael, it's longer. It's 15 minutes. It's 20 minutes after you get home from shul. So, okay, another question that was raised regarding this, again, the issue we're raising here is how much is Rabbeinu Tam still, you know, alive and kicking? And how much can we use his shita to be makel? So we said, perhaps like Tara or Moshe thought maybe there was a sveksveka, but most of the poskim did not like that. What about, this was the big debate, and this is what the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer that we made reference to last week is really about. What about a baby born 5 minutes after Shkia? So, if you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, it's still the previous day. If you hold like the Gaonim, it's already suffik the next day. Now a bris, if you give a bris a day early, the bris is not chal. It's not a good bris if you do it on the seventh day. If you do it on the ninth day or the tenth day, so you were mevatel doing it bismano, but the bris is still chal. So if you have a bris if you have a baby born 5 minutes after Shkia, so you don't want to do it on that day in a week from now, because if it was really born at night, so you're doing it a day early, right? If the baby's born, and we'll talk about the very practical case, which all the tshuvas are talking about, this happened, I'm sure it happened many times, but the famous tshuva of the Chassam Sofer is where the baby was born 5 minutes after Shkia on Shabbos evening, Motzei Shabbos, not Friday night, Saturday evening, meaning maybe Motzei Shabbos. It's 5 minutes after Shkia. If you hold like the Gaonim, it's already a Safek Laila. If it's a Safek Laila, you're not doing the bris the next Shabbos. A, you want to make sure you get the right day. So doing it on Shabbos might mean you're a day early. And if you're doing it a day early, you're being Mechal Shabbos. Because to give a bris is an Isser D'oraisa of causing a Chabura and blood. The only reason you're allowed to do it is because we have a drush in the Pasuk. You're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos if it's Bismano. So if the baby's born 5 minutes after Shkia, the proper day is either the next Shabbos or the next Sunday. So the Chassam Sofer amazingly writes in the Tshuva, you give the bris on Shabbos. You do the bris the next Shabbos. Why? He says, because we hold like Rabbeinu Tam. He writes, not only do we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, we do malacha after Shkia on Friday. So you see that, at least in Pressburg, they really held like Rabbeinu Tam. They even did malacha after the sun set on Friday for 20 minutes or so until they were Mekabel Shabbos. Again, they could do it more than that, but that's what he writes they did. He said they were did malacha for 20 minutes, 25 minutes after Shkia, and then they were Mekabel Shabbos because they held like Rabbeinu Tam. He said, once we're going to hold like Rabbeinu Tam, why would we be Mevatel, the mitzvah saseh of Bris? We hold like Rabbeinu Tam. That means the right day is to do it on Shabbos. Now you need big shoulders to be able to say such a thing. But that's what the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva. It's interesting. The Tshuva, I don't think it's on the part that you have here on the Makoro sheet, but we looked, there was a Tshuva I made reference to earlier, the Shut Shemesh Umagen, which was with Shalom Mashash, the Rav of Yerushalayim, the Sephardic Chief Rabbi of Yerushalayim, passed away in 2003, I believe, early 2000s. So he writes in here when he's attacking Shitas Rabbeinu Tam and saying, I don't think we can hold like Rabbeinu Tam. He says, it's mamish neged the mitzias. It's neged what we see here in Eretz Yisrael. Oh, he writes it here. He says, what? If you start holding like Rabbeinu Tam, you're going to start doing brises on Shabbos and you're going to consider it the day. You're going to cook. You're going to do brisin. So that's a reference to the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer said, yeah, we do the bris. Okay. So Rav Moshe here, and this is back to source 12, this is the last paragraph there, he writes also amazingly that you can do the bris on Shabbos. He says he thinks it's better not to, just because so many people hold like the Gaonim, and to start doing the bris the next Shabbos when it could be that according to the Gaonim, you're missing the right day. You know, you're missing the right day and you're being Mechal Shabbos. It's two strikes against you. Because if it's really nighttime, Sunday's the right day for the bris, and you're Mechal Shabbos. So Moshe says he advises not to do the bris on Shabbos and to push it off to Sunday. But he says that if people want to, he wouldn't fight with them. Because he thinks that there is what to rely upon. Which means, you see, he's really giving Shitas Rabbeinu Tam a lot of clout. All right, one more case, two more cases. One more, one very exciting, the other case will be quicker, just a case of you're stuck in traffic. And you look at Waze, it's Erev Shabbos, and Waze tells you you'll be home 5 minutes after Shkia. So can you keep driving? Can you keep driving? You'll rely on Rabbeinu Tam, Svek Sveika. Maybe Rabbeinu Tam's right. And even if he's not, it's only been a shmasho, Safek Yom, Safek Laila. So here we would expect Rav Moshe to say the same thing, as he said by the Bris case, which is, I think it's okay, but probably better not to because of the Shitas HaGaonim. So park your car, get out, and you know, walk the rest of the way. Obviously, I should just point out, if we're talking about driving in a dangerous neighborhood, and it's Sakana, if we're talking about the middle of the winter, and it's, you know, 10 degrees outside, and there's no town nearby, of course you keep driving. It's Sakana Snafashos, of course you keep driving. We're talking about, you know, you're driving home, and I was brought up in the New York area, so you're driving on, you know, the FDR, you're driving on the Van Wyck Expressway, you're driving on Route 4, and you see that it's almost Shabbos. You pull over the car and you can walk if it's safe. So that's the question. What would Rav Moshe say in this situation? Here, there's actually a reason to be mechalik and to be more mekel, and a reason to be more machmir. Can anyone think of a reason to be more mekel? Why would you maybe be more mekel here than the Bris case? And here, for sure, you can keep driving. It's a very interesting chiluk. In the Bris case, when are you going to do the Bris? You're going to do the Bris the next Shabbos. When? Shabbos morning. So you're vaday going to be mechal Shabbos. Again, it's not necessarily chil Shabbos because it might be that the Bris is okay. But you're going to do the Bris on Shabbos day itself. As opposed to in this case, when are you driving? You're driving, you're doing the malacha during the period of Safek. So maybe that would be a distinction. Here you're doing the malacha during the Ben Hashmashos period. So the malacha itself is being done in a possible Safek. Next, for the Bris case, you're doing the malacha for sure on Shabbos. Question is whether you're allowed to be doing it. But for sure you're doing it on Shabbos. So that's a reason to be mekel. There's another reason to be machmir. There's another reason to be machmir. And there's an argument to be more machmir. What's the reason to be more machmir? Maybe you could say the Bris is a mitzvah. Maybe you can say that even the Hefsek Tara, maybe it's part of a mitzvah. But here, the driving is not necessarily a tzorach mitzvah. I mean, I understand, you know, it's a mitzvah to have chalent on Shabbos. And if you're not home, you're not going to have chalent. But it's not a straight-up mitzvah that you're doing here. The Maisa, the poskim, write that, again, that the Gaonim have won the day in terms of the beginning of Shabbos. And therefore, unless, you know, maybe you're like a great-grandchild of the Chassam Sofer, the general practice is that when Shabbos begins, that when Shkia comes, Shabbos begins, and we can't use the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. But one last application.
Isn't there something about a Seder Chalosa say?
Yes. No, that's very good, except the issue with Shabbos is that Shabbos is both an Aseh and a Los Aseh.
By Bris. But over here, by Ben Hashmoshes with Shabbos and everything, where do you have an Aseh and a Los Aseh?
I'm saying Shabbos itself is an Aseh and a Los Aseh. Because Shabbos is an Aseh of Shabbason, says, and there's a Los Aseh of Lotasa Kol Malacha. So it's a very good direction to go in, but it's not going to work by Shabbos because it's an Aseh and a Los Aseh. Very good. Okay, so I'm just going to introduce you to one other thing here in the Shulchan Aruch. This is in Reish Tzadi Tes. So this is where we learn the din of not eating before you make Havdalah on Motzei Shabbos. Osur lechol shum dover, o lishtos yayin, o shar mashkin, chutz mimayim, mishetechshach ad shiyatu. You're not allowed to eat before you make Havdalah. The Mishnah Brura says, on the spot, even by Safik Chashecha, meaning even Ben Hashmashos. Once Ben Hashmashos kicks in, you're not allowed to have Shalosh Shittos. You're not allowed to eat. Okay. So when is Ben Hashmashos? So if we hold like the Gaonim, Shkia. If we hold like Rabbeinu Tam, it's much later. So can I come and say, listen, we all know I'm a Hasidish guy, and I love Shalosh Shittos, and Shalosh Shittos is a very big inyan, and I haven't had Shalosh Shittos yet. So Shki has come, Beseder, but maybe I should rely on Rabbeinu Tam to do this very important mitzvah of Shalosh Shittos. So the Mishnah Berurah says, no, once Ben Hashmashos comes, you cannot. But the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's 30 minutes before Tzeis Kochavim, as long as it's before 30 minutes, you're still okay, you can eat. You can continue to eat after Shkia, as long as it's not within 30 minutes of Tzeis Kochavim. Where's the Mishnah Berurah coming from? So Rav Yashiv writes that this is the Mishnah Berurah, who's assuming, as he wrote earlier, that you're holding like Rabbeinu Tam. So since you're holding like Rabbeinu Tam for the end of Shabbos, he feels that it's okay to be makil in order to eat Shalosh Shudas after Shkia, as long as you're not within 30 minutes of night. Why within 30 minutes of night is a problem? Because once night comes, then you're chayav in Kriya Shema, you're chayav in other things, and 30 minutes before a mitzvah, you're not supposed to eat. That's where he gets the 30 minutes from. But it's not Bein HaShmoshes, it's not Safek night, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mishnah Berurah, who again, he told you to hold like both, he apparently felt that at least when it comes to Shalosh Shudas, we can use Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. And we can continue to eat after Shkia until 30 minutes before nightfall. So again, Rav Yashiv said about this that he felt that this is only true if you're holding like Rabbeinu Tam. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is assuming. And in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he writes what we would expect already at this point, which is what? That if you live in Eretz Yisrael and you hold like the Gaonim maker Adin, so you can't use the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Because you're only allowed to use the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam if you're living in Pressburg and you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, or you're living in Radin and you really hold like Rabbeinu Tam. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is not clear who he's actually passing like. It sounds like he's passing like Rabbeinu Tam, but it's likely to be Machmir for the Gaonim when you can. The opposite of what we do. We really hold like the Gaonim, we're Machmir, some of us are Machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. The Mishnah Berurah came from the opposite direction. So what we've seen right here is four different Shaila's very practical cases in Halacha. Can we utilize the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam? A woman doing a Hefsek Tara after Shkia, a Bris Mila, when a baby's born after Shkia, driving after Shkia on Erev Shabbos, and having Shalosh Shudas after Shkia. And we see that except for the Shalosh Shudas case, really the Poskim were not willing to give Rabbeinu Tam an inch. Maybe if you hold like him, there's something to talk about. And by Shalosh Shudas, though, that there was a little bit of a discussion. But again, the Shmir Shabbos said that he thinks that you should not eat after Shkia. So I think that obviously everyone should ask their own Rav for their own Psak, but you have to be consistent. If you don't really hold like Rabbeinu Tam, so you certainly can't use him and pull him in just in order to be makel. If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, okay, so then there's what to talk about.
So one second.
Please.
So if you wait 72 like Rabbeinu Tam, so then you can... I have two questions. Shal Shudas after Shkia. A lot of people say like washing, there's something about washing after Shkia. So if you don't wash and you have the Zainus or something, you can't. Is there a difference washing or not? And also, if you're in the middle of eating, do you have to stop? Or once you, as long as you started before Shkia, it's okay.
Excellent. So we are going to have a whole shir on Shalosh Shudas eventually. But I will tell you that washing is significant. The two questions address each other. If you've already washed before Shkia, then you're allowed to continue after Shkia. But in terms of the first question of, if you're learning straight up like the halacha here, the straight up halacha is that you can't eat anything after Shkia. If you haven't started before by washing and starting a meal, then you can't even have a snack after Shkia. Even water, he says, is a problem. He says, chutz mimayim is what he says. There's inyanim about water during this time period, but the Shulchan Aruch says water is okay, but everything else besides water would be a problem once Shkia sets in. Unless...
But if you wait 72, like...
If you hold like Rabbeinu Tam, then the Mishnah Berurah says you have up until 30 minutes before the end of Shabbos.
Which
buys you a lot of time. Buys you a lot of time. Right.
Is that only to eat Indian Shalosh
Shudas? I'm going to remind you that means that on Motzei Yom Kippur, you're waiting a lot of extra time. You have to figure out if it's worth it. Okay, yeah, go ahead. Evan. Please.
So that eating is only Indian Shalosh Shudas, or that's eating in general?
Oh, excellent. Snack. So the Mishnah Berurah says either Shalosh Shudas, because it's a mitzvah, or if you're very hungry. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, right? My kids tell me they're always very hungry, right? Like we just had dinner like 20 minutes ago, and my kids tell me they're starving, right? And then after I give them the whole speech about how, you know, people in Africa are starving, you're not starving. Right after I do my fatherly role of making that reference. But, you know, so nowadays, I don't know what that means if you're really hungry. Everyone's always really hungry. So, but that's what he writes. He writes that if you're very hungry or if it's to be a kind of mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas. Okay. We have a couple more minutes and I want to we're going back to some in Reish Samach Aleph. That's what we started here. And we skipped, if you remember, Reish Samach Aleph, back into the Shulchan Aruch here. Reish Samach Aleph, we skipped to Sif Beis, because that's where the Shulchan Aruch paskened like Rabbeinu Tam. We still have to do Sif Aleph and then Gimel and Dalet. So let's take a look at Sif Aleph. Sif Aleph, you'll recognize from the Mishnah in Bamei Madlikin. It says like this, Safek Chashecha. So these are the special dinim that apply during Ben Hashmashos. Safek Chashecha. And I think I just wanted to stress again how really important it is to anchor things with the Shulchan Aruch. I encourage everyone to go through the Shulchan Aruch and read through the Shulchan Aruch, the Chazer, and to read through the Shulchan Aruch, because a lot of the different halachas that we're talking about, if you have something to root it to, you know, and part of the goal here is to really master the Shulchan Aruch and to get make sure we have the halachos down. I will also just use this as a very quick plug. You know, the Svichas Chavar program has a very nice program. I saw some of the material. It's a very nice program that they set up for Shavuos. It's going to be a limud for over Shavuos. A lot of people, I don't know, here in Eretz Yisrael, we're coming out of the houses already a little bit, but I know that those of you in Chutz Laaretz are still pretty much locked down in your homes, and they have a special limud that they prepared, a very nice packet for different age groups within families, for kids, with you know, comics that are teaching the halacha, and for older, for adults. And there's going to be a kahoot on Motzei Shavuos, and there'll be prizes, cash prizes for people who do well. And it seems like a very, very nice program. And the halachas are going to be about Basar V'Cholov, basics about waiting between meat and milk and some of the basics of Basar V'Cholov. So I very much encourage you. I sent something out on the WhatsApp group. And, you know, obviously it's up to you, but it looks like a very, very nice program. And you can sign up if you're
interested. How would somebody get that packet?
So I'll send it out again on the WhatsApp group. There's a link that you click on.
They send I'm not you on the WhatsApp group, though.
Oh, so I'll send it on the email. I'll send it to the email. Yeah, I'll send it to the email. And you'll be able to click on it, and they'll send it to you right before Yontif. You print it out, and it's a very nice limud that the families can do. Okay, so let's get back to the Shulchan Aruch here. Safek Chashecha, Vehu Ben Hashmashos. Okay, if we're in Ben Hashmashos, and then we know this already, but the Ramah fills us in. What does that mean? That means Shir Hiluch Shalosh Ruvei Mil, 3/4 of a mil, the amount of time it takes, after Shkia Sachama. Shir Mil, and then he tells us how long a mil is. Okay. So during this period of Ben Hashmashos, Ein Ma'asrinus Havadai, we are not allowed to take off Trumos and Maestros. We don't take off Trumos and Maestros on Shabbos because it's a Dirabonon that it looks like we're being Misakein the food. So we don't take off Trumos and Maestros during Shabbos, and we don't take up Trumos and Maestros during Ben Hashmashos either. That's halacha number one. Halacha number two, Ein Matbilin Asakelim. We don't do Tvilas Kelim. Number three, Ein Madlikin Asaneros. We don't light candles. Number four, Ein Ma'arvin Eruvei Tchumin. We don't set up an Erev Tchumin in order to be able to walk outside the city. Those are the four things that we do not do. I'll just comment on one of those four things, and that is Matbilin Asakelim. Mishnah Berurah points out that the Shulchan Aruch quotes the halach, the Mishnah. The Mishnah, though, is talking about being tovel kelim that are tame and making them tahor, like in terms of tumah v'tahara. Why does the Shulchan Aruch quote that? That's not a halacha that's nogeya nowadays. In general, the Shulchan Aruch quotes halachas that are nogeya nowadays in the exile. You know, not halachas have to do with tumah v'tahara. So the Mishnah Berurah says that, even though that's what the Mishnah is talking about, he also wrote it because it applies to Tavel and Kalim, like when you buy Kalim from a non-Jew, from a store, and it was owned by a non-Jew, we know that you have to Tavel your Kalim, you have to do Tfilas Kalim. So that halacha also, we don't do Tfilas Kalim on Shabbos. But since Tfilas Kalim of a Kli that was bought by a non-Jew is less, perhaps less of a tikkun, there are kulas, ways to be tovel kelim on Shabbos. We learned tefilas kelim a year ago with the Smichas Chaver program, right? A few of you were with us. So we did the halachos tefilas kelim. So we said that on Shabbos, I think it was the last sif in that simon was about Shabbos. What do you do on Shabbos? So there are ways. I don't know if I would want to do this, but we said you can, for instance, be very smooth and walk over the kelim mikvah and stick the cup in and take a drink. And when you put it in, so you're tumbling it, but you can't tell because it looks like you're just filling up your cup for a drink. Now, you might have other problems if you sit there drinking, you know, the mikveh water, but at least you got your kli to be tovled, right? So here, the Mishnah Berurah says that even though that is the halacha, if you need the kli for Shabbos and there's no other kli available to you, you are able to do it during Ben HaShemashos. You are able to. So even though it says in matbil and esakelim, which again, when you're reading Bamei Madlikan on Friday evening, the real pshat in the Mishnah is to tavel it from Tumah to Tahara. But the Shulchan Aruch quotes it because it's true also. We lichatchila don't do tfilas kelim once Ben HaShemashos has kicked in. Okay. So those are the four things that we do not do. What do we do? Aval ma'asr nesad demai. If you have demai, something which is a suffix, it's owned by an amaretz, it's not clear if trumos and maestros were taken off, so you are able to take off the maestros from that. Tom nenesachamin, which means you're allowed to insulate the pots, and we're talking here about insulating it with a dover, which is not mosif hevel. And again, we learned those dinim of hatmana in the last man. And ma'arvin eruvei chatzeros, you are able to make an eruv chatzeros.
Okay. Why isn't there a problem between Meiser Demai? You're also being Masakin, no?
Well, since it's Elamai, not clear...
it is already done.
Exactly, and therefore it doesn't look as much like... It's not a Vadai Tikkun, because it's only a Suffolk Tikkun, so we already have like a... So it's a Suffolk whether it's Shabbos, and it's a Suffolk whether it's a Tikkun, so therefore we're able to be making. Okay, great. Now, there is another question which is brought up, and this is connected a little bit to what we learned last month. And this is the question, and this is a question that a shul rabbi gets semi-regularly. This is probably the most common shaila of Ben HaShemashos on Erev Shabbos. And this is the question of Maisa Shabbos. What is Maisa Shabbos? Maisa Shabbos, we learned in the very beginning of Shinyan Ches, Maisa Shabbos is a din de rabbanon, knas de rabbanon, that if you were over on a malacha on Shabbos, so you're not allowed to get hana from that malacha on Shabbos. Malacha that everybody knows about, but it's a din derabanan, a real halacha, that if malacha was done for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get hana from that malacha on Shabbos. If you did malacha on Shabbos, if someone did malacha on Shabbos, you're not allowed to get hana. Now it's a big machlokas tanayim, three-way machlokas tanayim. But the way we paskin, for those of you who remember, we'll just refresh your memory. The way that we learned it with us, the way we paskin is that whether it was done b'shogeg or b'mezid, it's usur on Shabbos to get hana from that malacha. After Shabbos, it's mutter, except for the perpetrator himself, if he did it b'mezid. So what does that mean? That means that if I accidentally cook on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to eat that food on Shabbos. That's the din of Maisa Shabbos. Okay. However, you might remember, and here the Be'er Halacha makes a reference to it. The Be'er Halacha here writes, this is in Dibra Maskel, the Ein Madlikin. So the Be'er Halacha here says, also written by the Mishnah Berurah, that if Malacha was done during Ben HaShemashos, it does not trigger the din of Maisa Shabbos. And this happens very often because a lot of times people lose track of the time. And somebody during Ben HaShemashos, so it could be the wife lit candles, and now I don't know, she's sitting out on the back porch, and a kid or someone else in the house, the father didn't go out to Mincha yet, and he takes something and he puts it on the blech when it wasn't on before. He does something that constitutes bishul of some sort on during Ben HaShemashos. So the Be'er Halacha says, and this is going back to what we started this year with, since according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not Shabbos yet, we're able to be mako on this derabanan of Maaser Shabbos. And this, for those of you who learned it with us, you might remember that probably the most famous Prima Gadim in Hilchos Shabbos, the Prima Gadim writes, this is Sifkat and Beis in Shin Yud Ches, that if there's a machlokes, there's no iser of Maaser Shabbos, which means that if there's a debate about whether something is considered bishul on Shabbos and it's done on Shabbos, we're able to be mako, because it's a machlokas. So here, since it's a machlokas ga'onim in Rabbeinu Tam, whether it's Shabbos or not, seemingly we're able to be makel regarding this question. And as you would expect, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach chimes in and says, not here in Eretz Yisrael. Here in Eretz Yisrael, where we paskin like the ga'onim, it's not a suffix, which is a fascinating question. When we said this halacha, whenever there's a machlokas, you're allowed to be go l'kula for Maaser Shabbos. So what does that mean, it's a machlokas? It means a machlokas that hasn't been paskined on? Or it means even a machlokas that's been paskined on? So Rav Shlomo Zalman, and in Or HaShabbos, he's also machmir on this. He says that in Eretz Yisrael, where we hold like the gonim, so that's it. Shkia is the cutoff. But many poskim are makel. And I know it's pretty standard in America for sure to be makel during Ben HaShmashos. If a malacha was done, let's say a light was turned on during Ben HaShmashos. It's a pitch black room, and someone turns on a light. So you're able to use the light on Shabbos. If someone cooks accidentally during Ben HaShmashos, there is definitely room to be makel. So you can ask the Rav of your shul if you get into the situation. But that is a big debate about Meister Shabbos. Okay, I'm going to introduce one last topic, and we'll end with
you're
this.
Also for,
please.
You already lit the candles?
What was that, Ruvain?
Is it also if you already lit the candles?
So if, rely on the, good. So if the woman herself did the malacha, and she already lit candles, so l'chore, she was already mekabel Shabbos on herself. Right? So l'chore, it wouldn't be okay for her, but it would be okay. We assume we're going to do a shir or two on halakas neiros. We assume l'halacha, a lot of people don't know this, we assume l'halacha that when the woman lights candles, it's only for her. It's not, for sure not for her husband, probably not for the children either. That's what most poskim say. It's really just for the mother. You know, sometimes people say, oh, can I ask a child to do something? My wife already lit candles. Wasn't mekabel Shabbos. So the pashta says that the kabbalah is only for the woman. Okay.
Right.
The one last thing here, if you take a look in Simen Aleph, in Sif Aleph, excuse me, he continues here in the Shulchan Aruch, Umutter lomar le'eno Yehudi ben Hashmashos l'hadlik ner l'tzorach Shabbos. Another heter of ben Hashmashos. So far we saw there are a bunch of things you can do during ben Hashmashos, a bunch of things you can't do. Here we get another explicit kula during ben Hashmashos. Amira l'nachri. You're not allowed to on Shabbos ask a guy to do malacha for you. But they're allowed to do malacha for themselves. So if you have a housekeeper in the house and it's cold in the house, she turns on the heat. Again, putting on the heat might be a separate question anyway. But she does something that she's benefiting from, so we can assume she's doing it for herself, and you're also benefiting. But to ask someone straight out to do malacha for you is a problem on Shabbos, but not during Ben HaShmashos. And therefore, if a woman did not get a chance, right? A lot of times, we're going to learn this, when we learn Hadlakos Neiros. A lot of times, you know, Hadlakos Neiros is a very big inyan, even though it's not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's maybe a mitzvah d'rabbanan, maybe a minhag, but the women take it very seriously, and it's great that they do. But you certainly shouldn't, if it's a chashash, if it's already Shabbos, you certainly shouldn't light candles during this time period just because it's such a big deal to light candles. That's explicit in the Mishnah. Bein HaShmashos, Ein Madlikin HaSaneros. We don't light candles during that time. But you can ask an Eino Yehudi to. V'chein lomar la'asos kol malacha. You can ask the guy to do any malacha for you, which is Litzorech Mitzvah, or you're tarud v'nechpaz alav, or it's stressing you out. So if you're stressed out because you forgot to flip the switch on the air conditioner is going to run all Shabbos. It's going to be a huge bill, and you just forgot to flip one little switch, and you're going to be worrying about it the whole Shabbos. So you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do that malacha for you during Ben HaShmashos. That's the halacha that's stated here. And again, here in the Shulchan Aruch, we see if it's for Shabbos or if it's something that will cause you stress. If you look in Mishnah Berurah Yud Gimel, he explains to us why, first of all, because Amir Lenachri is only a Dirabanan, and they didn't make the Gezerah during Ben HaShmashos if there was a purpose for it, like the Tzorach Mitzvah. When Chazal said you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to do Malacha, they never made that Gezerah on Ben HaShmashos if it's something that's important. He then continues in Tezayin, and he adds other reasons to be Mekel. We saw in the Shulchan Aruch, what are the reasons to be Mekel? If it's the Tzorach Mitzvah, like lighting Shabbos candles, or if it's something you're going to be very stressed out about. He adds in the Mishnah Berurah, and again, these could just be further elaborations of what people get stressed out about. He says it's if it's a hefsed meruba, if it's a big financial loss. So obviously that's very much dependent on your financial situation. Now, I brought the air conditioning example. So for some people, it could be running the air conditioning all Shabbos is a big financial loss for them, and it's something that would stress them out. For other people, they oftentimes leave the air conditioning on for a very long amount of time, and that's not considered a hefsed meruba. So hefsed meruba is a little bit of a question. We don't necessarily have an objective standard for that, but it has to be something that would really cause distress, or a tzorach gadol, something that has a real reason. Like an example here in Eretz Yisrael, for instance, which I think is for sure would rise to tzorech gadol. It could even be dangerous. I'm not an electrician. Sometimes people forget the dude, shemesh. They have the button, and they forget they leave that button on. Now, I know people, and maybe even I have done it before, I forgot to turn off that button for a long time. It doesn't usually cause a fire, I don't think, but it does burn out your system, and it's an expensive replacement. And you don't have hot water for a few days until you get a guy to come down. So I would think that that certainly falls into this category, that you can ask a non-Jew to turn it off. It might even be, I'm not an electrician, I would even think that it would even warrant doing that on Shabbos itself through Amir La'akum if it really could cause a fire if it's left on for a long time. I'm not sure. That would be something that you would have to clarify with someone who understands the electrical engineering of how these things work. But if it's, you know, just because it's going to cause a big financial loss, you know, we're not talking about a colossal financial
You're
loss.
You're also, if you have the heater on.
So that's what I'm saying. If it's going to be on Shabbos, for sure, Shabbos, we're not matir to do malacha al yedei goy for hefsed meruba. That's not a, it's not a kula for Amir Lakum. If it's a danger, for sure, there's a kula. You don't even need to go to a goy if it's a imminent danger. You can do it. You should do it yourself. Not that you can. You should do it yourself if it's a real sakana. But I see Ariel Ephraim is telling me that it could explode. So I would think that if it could explode, that's for sure a danger. And you know, I know you might say, "Oh, so, I can leave my house," but there are other people in your building. There are people around. So that would seem to be something that would be important.
So according to Rabbeinu Tam, you could do it yourself. And according to everybody else, you can't even ask. You could ask a guy. You could ask a guy.
Yes, and we're adding that this question of asking a guy, it has to be a situation that warrants it, either a makom mitzvah or something you get stressed out about. But getting stressed out, I think, is probably dependent on different people. Some people get stressed out quicker, and some people get stressed out less quickly. Okay, I'm going to end with just
I have left my dud on a whole Shabbos. I have the DD. I've loved that.
And it didn't explode, I guess.
No, but if we go like Rabbeinu Tam, if I was like some cipher, I could have shot myself.
That's true. But again, very few people nowadays paskin like Rabbeinu Tam Lakula. You know, there might be some Satmar Hasidim that do. But in general, most people on Erev Shabbos for sure don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam. I'm just going to bring it back to something we talked about and end it with this. And we had the question about, let's say you're running late for Shabbos. The Waze says you'll be there 5 minutes after Shkia. Can you keep driving? So we said you can't. But if you're in a cab, if you're in an Uber, so then you probably can keep going. Why? Because we're in Bein HaShmashos. It's Amir La'akum. Now, there are some side issues that need to be dealt with. For instance, Tchum. But Tchum is a Durabanan. And like Amir La'akum, this is a tshuva from Rav Ozner, he writes, just like Amir La'akum, we're willing to be makel if it's the Tzorech Mitzvah or Tzorech Gadol or stress. And I would be pretty stressed out if I didn't make it home for Shabbos. That's pretty stressful. So it's a Durabanan. So by a Durabanan, Amir La'akum during Bein HaShmashos is allowed. And therefore, he writes explicitly, Rav Ozner, that if you're in a cab with a Gentile driver, you can continue during Bein HaShmashos. He advises you that it's best to have the Gentile open the door for you and close it afterwards. And either if it's not on your credit card, have him take the money out of your wallet himself and to carry your things in for you. And I'm sure many of us know stories of people that this happened to. But that is an application that's very lemaisa, that you can be in a cab with a Gentile. You have an Uber where it has your credit card on file anyway. You can continue during Bein HaShmashos because it's a case of Amir La'akum and it finds its source in this Shulchan Aruch that we just read. Okay, Amir Tzashem, we'll finish.